Warm up the duck boats and start singing Sweet Caroline. It's time for the Boston Breakdown. I'm Joe Braverman, and on this show, we discuss the biggest news and stories in the world of Boston sports. Everything from the Patriots,
let's go!
Red Sox,
can you believe it?
Bruins,
the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup,
and Celtics. Game action, transactions, you name it, we'll discuss it. Now, it's time to break it down.
Along with lovers, muggers, and thieves.
Yoshida has tied the game with a two-run homer in the ninth inning. Can you believe it?
I love that dirty water.
Here for another edition of the Boston Breakdown Podcast. We're coming at you here on Tuesday, July 9th, 2024. Drop date is July 10th. This is the 19th episode. Since we're talking Red Sox today, we'll call it the Josh Beckett episode. Of course, that's the first number 19 that I grew up with on the Red Sox. You go a little bit modern. You go Koji Uehara from the 2013 team. How about Jackie Bradley Jr. from the 2018? That run, tremendous defender there. Or how about more recent, Pablo Reyes, out of all people wearing number 19. Got to show some love for Pablo out there. One of the favorite hits from last year with the walk-off grand slam. Of course, there's other 19s out there in the Boston sports world. But as I said, we're specifically talking Red Sox because they are now at the forefront of things. Even though, if you're watching on YouTube, I got the Celtics championship logo on, hat and matching shirt. But the reason I wear it, couple of reasons. One, looks cool. Two, had to get the merch after the Celtics won, obviously. But the third and the bigger reason specifically for this podcast is because it's time for the Red Sox to get into a championship level mindset. And I'm not talking the team in particular. I'm talking about the front office and everyone who makes the decision about transactions, because this Red Sox team just continues to defy logic and expectations from the ownership and maybe even some of the fans. I know me personally, I wasn't too high on them. I thought they could at least get to an even 500 at 81-81, maybe just barely hit that over-under of 78.5 wins. But here they are as we record today on Tuesday, 49-40, and currently a game and a half up on the Kansas City Royals for the final wild card spot. And only, I believe it was two back of the Minnesota Twins for that second wild card spot. And then the team they just beat, the Yankees, they're only three back in the loss column. So this is such an exciting time to see winning baseball back at Fenway Park and in the city of Boston. And it's kind of funny. We had this discussion on Playtesting, myself, Gordo, Sammy, and Pat, about if this season is different from the previous years, because you look at the 2022 season and beyond, has been kind of the same. Around this time of the year, the team gets hot, they go on a really good run, and it makes fans believe in them a little bit. And then when it gets to the deadline, Chaim Bloom would make these moves or non-moves to not invest to the team, even though they're in a relatively good spot to make the playoffs. Why is this team different? Because I think this is way more legitimate. This is legitimate now, where this has been a month or so where the team has played really, really well, and they've beaten some really good teams out there. Of course, we always reference the Phillies and the Yankees. They did it twice, by the way, to the Yankees, getting a 2 out of 3 in both home and on the road. And they just continue to win. They have not fallen off the cliff just yet. And, you know, part of it has to do with what happens post-trade deadline. But I think there's enough time here where you can actually start to make a decision on what this team should do. It's pretty obvious that this team should be buyers at the deadline. And I think all of baseball is starting to recognize it. You know, you saw them on Sunday Night Baseball put up a really good game against the Yankees, where Devers continues to be a monster. Cutter Crawford was absolutely electric on the mound. And yeah, Buster only reporting around that the rest of the league is starting to talk about the Sox. I mean, granted, it's might be in a good light, it might be in a bad light, but they're still talking about them. They're no longer in the background of Major League Baseball. People are starting to take them a little bit seriously now. And to me, I already knew that this team should be buyers. I would say 2 weeks ago was the ultimate, you know, stamp of approval for me that this team should go for it and should be buyers at the deadline. But I think what they did in the Bronx at Yankee Stadium should have, for at least the common owner, the common team owner who actually cares about their team, that solidified their spot to buy. Not to the fans, because I think people who like myself who watch the Red Sox game after game after game already knew that this is a team worth investing in, worth going and making an addition rather than selling off these pieces. Now, that weekend series should have shown to everyone in the front office, everyone who isn't in that dugout 24/7, it should have shown to everyone else that this is a team worth investing in and worth buying. So hopefully that is the case. And before we move on to that, I do want to recap that series because it was just so much fun to watch Yankee Stadium. First, that Friday game where we had this debate. I'll keep referencing Play Tessie a lot since I'm on the crew, obviously. We had this conversation about, was that the game of the year? Because we've had that conversation for maybe 2 or 3 weeks now. There was the Sunday night game at Fenway where Zach Kelly comes in with the bases loaded, no out, shuts everyone down, and the Red Sox eventually win that game. That was labeled game of the year. Then the Blue Jays game happens where they're down 6-2 at home. Romy Gonzalez ties it. Jaron Duran gets the walk-off win with the Celtics in town with the trophy. Then that was labeled game of the year. Then you got this Friday game where they're literally down to their last out. Dom Smith pinch hits and gets himself aboard on base. And then Masataka Yoshida, of all people, and I've referenced this on Baseball Isn't Boring, that out of all people to hit the tying home run with one strike left in the bottom of the ninth against the Yankees closer, out of all people, it's him. Someone who a week or two ago, we were saying, it's time to get rid of this guy. He's not providing you anything from the DH spot. And I will say that still kind of stays the same for me. I'll talk about that a little bit later, but that was unreal. And then you go to the next half inning. Slayton shuts it down, gets it to extra innings. Then you go to the 10th, and Sedan Rafaela blasts it and gets it a two-run game. And you can see you could have seen the energy if you watched it in the dugout about how excited that team was. They were so full of energy pretty much all weekend long. And it started on that Friday night game when they rallied and came away with that victory. Saturday is kind of one that I'm going to throw away because the bullpen was absolutely taxed. They had the extra inning game in Miami, and then they had the travel. And the very next night, they had to do another extra inning game. And Tanner Houck was a victim of the rain delay. That was only 38 minutes, I believe. And when he came out of that delay, he looked nothing like the ace that we've seen all season long. So I kind of throw away Saturday's performance. I will say, though, Alex Verdugo, many were wondering in the offseason, you know, is this the right move to make? Should you have traded him away? I firmly believe now that was the right move to get rid of Alex Verdugo, because the way he was pimping that home run, you got to keep in mind, the last home run he hit before that Saturday game was at Fenway, where he over the top celebrates and is like basically like he just walked off the World Series for the Yankees on that one. And I know he's an emotional guy, but that was just over the top. Then you go to the Saturday one, and instead of being so excited and doing the same thing, he just decides to slow trot it around the base. I'm sorry, but you're a guy who hadn't hit a home run in 3 weeks, and you only have like 10 or 11 on the year. Now, that's better than most, but it's not the same as the greats. You know, if you're someone like Shohei Ohtani or Rafael Devers or any of these top hitters in the MLB, then you could maybe get away with that. You are maybe the fifth best player on this Yankees roster, and you're going to celebrate like that. I mean, that is ridiculous. And honestly, I am so glad that after Rafi Devers hit his home run, he did almost the same thing. He admired it. He did a giant bat flip, and he was even more expressive than Verdugo. He even gave the little swimming bear thing that they normally do. He directed it right out towards left field. And honestly, that is the kind of response I like to see. Not someone, at least for this Sox team, I should say. You know, because I was someone who wanted to see the Sox throw up Verdugo on that Saturday at Fenway. But we knew that wasn't going to happen because everyone is buddy-buddy with Verdugo, or at least most of the players are buddy-buddy. But this is the kind of response you like to see, doing it with your actions rather than your words. And Devers is one of those guys that is an actions before words kind of thing. But speaking of Devers, this dude just owns the Yankees. He owns Gerrit Cole. I mean, let me talk about first the fact that Gerrit Cole has been maybe a top five pitcher in baseball for the last 3 or 4 years. And he has just taken him deep every single time. You go to the ALDS. I mean, not just Devers, but the entire team. And then you go on Saturday where Devers absolutely crushes it off of Cole. And, you know, Cole luckily gets away with it with the no decision. But it's still, he's a monster. Devers is a monster. And then you go to Sunday, the opposite field home run that he had to break it open, just barely getting over the fence, but still having that kind of power opposite field. And then the second one that he had, did you see how far off the plate that one was? That should have easily been laid off for a ball. Instead, he crushes that one and pulls it. It's not another opposite field shot. He launches that one 410 plus feet into Yankee Stadium in a chorus of boos. This guy is the modern day David Ortiz in that he has become an enemy to the Yankees. You know, essentially like what Alex Rodriguez and Derek Jeter and all those guys were in the mid-2000s at the peak of the rivalry. And then David Ortiz for the Sox side of things. Devers and Judge are those two guys. And I hope that they're going to carry the forefront of this rivalry. Because Devers, when you boo him like that, it's a sign of respect. The same reason, one of the reasons why you boo Aaron Judge. Because he's just so damn good. You know, you can respect him. Obviously, you can boo him. But you got to respect what he does. Devers is in that class. And just something about the rivalry, he absolutely loves. And I totally agree with Alex Cora that this is the face of the franchise. And I hate to say it, but the team actually made a good decision in moving on from Xander Bogaerts and giving the $300+ million to this guy Devers, because he is going to carry your team into any kind of success that you have as long as he keeps up this pace. That's where I am with Devers. And then you have the budding superstars. You already got Duran. He's going to be an all-star. Sedan Rafaela is only going to get better with the multiple home runs he had in this weekend series. Don Smith has done a great job filling in for Tristan Casas. Tyler O'Neill can give you some power. I mean, go down the roster. This isn't the perfect roster. It's not the perfect lineup, but it's a winnable team. It is a winnable team with a winnable rotation and a winnable bullpen, especially with a lights-out closer in Kenley Jansen. And you've got other setup guys like Zach Kelly, Chris Martin, Brendan Bernardino, Justin Slayton. This is a winning roster. And this is where I'll transition now to the trade deadline once again, because that's all anyone's going to talk about until that moment comes at the end of July. Now, we've heard a couple of reports. The big one, as I teased earlier, Buster Olney. He reported on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN that executives still think that the Sox are undecided. And there's a couple of things to think about like this. Number one, you look at ownership itself and you think, why the hell are they undecided? Look at what this team has done in the last 3 weeks. What more do they have to prove to be buyers? Okay. And number two, is you have to think about the wording of that report, like we talked about on Play Tessie. Only said that executives are getting that idea, and they believe that they're undecided. That could just be from phone calls that general managers have made, other conversations that they have with other teams. So it's not directly from the source. I mean, you're never going to get it directly from the source unless you're on a phone call, a contractual phone call in WEEI's front office report with the Greg Hill Show, and you get Breslow or Sam Kennedy, or you're like Breslow and you go on Fenway Rundown with Sean McAdam and Chris Cotillo. And Breslow did say that they do want to pick a lane. There's no middling it, no in between. You can't buy and you can't sell. You have to do one or the other, which is the right, it's the right thing to say. And honestly, I have been a big fan of Craig Breslow. I mean, granted, yes, he was maybe the 11th or 12th option that the Red Sox had to be their chief baseball officer and to basically be their general manager. But Breslow is still, I think he's still a likable guy. He's just been put in a really bad situation, and he's carrying out a message that ownership and the rest of the front office, everyone above him, has been saying to do, is that we don't want to increase our payroll and we need to work on a budget, which is extremely frustrating as a Red Sox fan. And some of the things that some of these guys have said, like Breslow is not saying the wrong thing. I mean, yes, he's non-committal to Alex Cora in the future. And yes, he's non-committal to, yes, we are absolutely going to buy at the deadline. But he's not shooting himself in the foot like we have seen Henry, Werner, and Kennedy do all the time. Kennedy's another one I think you can sort of give a little bit of the benefit of the doubt to. He sometimes says the wrong thing at the worst time. But I still think he has a little bit of passion when it comes to figuring out what to do with this team and to actually invest. So those are the two I kind of am okay with. Because Kennedy has shown how invested he wants to be. It's Werner and Henry who probably are the biggest villains right now in the city of Boston. So I do think that this team has to buy. And I think the needs are pretty obvious. You need another arm in the starting rotation because you need bodies. You need to help out that bullpen. And as much as I like Josh Winkowski, what he's done, and Cooper Criswell, what he's done for the year, you need a starter to eat up those innings. You got to keep those bullpen arms fresh. Ultimately, I still think a championship team, a playoff caliber team, isn't having an opener as their fifth starter. They're not riding out a bullpen game. You know, that worked for maybe 2 or 3 years for Kevin Cash and the Tampa Bay Rays, but it doesn't work anymore, at least if you're trying to get through the rest of the regular season and get into the postseason. Because obviously it's going to shrink. When you get to the playoffs, you're only going to have maybe 3 starters or 4 starters. And that one's pretty obvious. Houck, Bayo, Cutter Crawford, just to name a few. Like that's the 3 you're definitely going to do. And then Pivetta, obviously. So you've got a 4th, essentially. So you need another arm. You need another body in that rotation. You also need some power from that right-handed side. Tyler O'Neill is just a little bit inconsistent when it comes to the power. You know, he can have some really hot stretches and then some really cold stretches, but they're going to need another right-handed bat. So starting pitcher, right-handed bat, that's the biggest ones they need. And they don't need to break the bank. They don't need to break the bank and go get Vladimir Guerrero Jr., just to name a big name that might be out there on the market. You don't need to get Luis Robert from the White Sox. You just need someone. You just need another body. You need another body that is healthy and can play some games and keep everyone fresh. Like I had mentioned about Yoshida, I wouldn't mind offloading his contract because he's a designated hitter and he's a contact hitter. He's not a power hitter. You'd rather see your designated hitter have much more power than what Yoshida is giving you. Kenley absolutely has to stay. Your back end of the bullpen is Kenley's just been absolutely dominant. Absolutely dominant. He's got an ERA just a tad over 2, which is one of the best among relievers. And he's getting up there in 20 saves. So I still think you need to hold on to Kenley. I know he's got an expiring contract. I think all these contracts that are expiring, you need to hold on to them because they're all contributing. Kenley, Pivetta, and O'Neill are still a very important part of your success. And you need to hold on to him. So another name, another fresh body out there would really, really help the Sox. And much more evidence, you got 3 All-Stars. Do you know how hard it was the past three seasons to get multiple All-Stars, let alone three. I mean, you were lucky to even get one last year with Kenley Jansen. So of course, you have to get one because the team is every team has to be represented in Major League Baseball. But you've got Devers, who I already sung his praises about. Jarren Duran is budding into a star. He's a five-tool player. And you got Tanner Houck, who's still top 10 in ERA. Now, granted, I would have loved to have seen Kenley make the All-Star team. I think he probably had a better case than Clay Holmes, which is a little bit surprising. But all around, this is a team worth investing in. If you're a fan, if you're making deals as a general manager, in a front office, the ownership, it should be pretty damn obvious that this team is worth investing in. And we'll have plenty of conversations in future episodes about this, but I feel like it's as clear as day that this team can be a championship level team. I've talked about it all the time with Bradfo on Baseball Isn't Boring every Saturday on WEEI, is that you just need to get into the dance. Get into the dance and you can bust a move. Because look at what the Diamondbacks did last year with the third and final wild card spot. Look at what the Texas Rangers did last year in one of those wild card spots. You just need to get in, and then if you get hot, you are prime to make a run. You just have to get hot. So that's essentially where we're at, is this team is good enough to get to the playoffs, which means you have a chance, just like the Celtics that I'm wearing on my head and on my shirt, that they can be a championship-level team. They just need to get into the dance. That's all I'll leave it with. And on that note, we're going to sign off here from the Boston Breakdown Podcast. I thank all of you for watching. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you like this video and all of our other videos. Hit that subscribe button as well. Like the channel as well. If you're listening, wherever you get your pod, Spotify, Apple, wherever that may be, make sure you subscribe as well. Give us 5 stars, give us a rating, give us a review, all that jazz. We've got much more content coming out. We got much more on the Sox. Of course, we're still monitoring the Celtics and the Bruins off seasons. And then, of course, Patriots training camp will start in a couple of weeks. So it should be a great time once again in Boston, but it's just great to see winning, at least for some teams out there. Winning is back. We'll sign off for now. This is Joe Braverman once again. Thank you for watching episode 19 of the Boston Breakdown Podcast. We'll see you next time for episode 20. So long.
This is our city.